Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friend. We are continuing our series of Talmudic methodology based on the Sefer Amidas L'Cheker Halacha by Rav Moshe Avigdor Amiel, Zichrono Levracha. And today we're going to be discussing the differences between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And the Shir should be a schuz for a Refuah Shleima, for a Refuah Eliezer Ben Leia, for Toi B'Yudis Bas Temagasya, and also a schuz for a Shidduch, a Zivuk Hagun, for Dvorah Leia Bas Ariella, and for Tali Rut Bas Saraminda, or Mindel, I don't remember for now, and for Avram Shlomo Ben Penina. Sweetest friends, this is in the ninth chapter of his Hakdama to the Sefer. He talks about the differences between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. What are the differences between Talmud, Bavli, Talmud, Yerushalmi? First of all, why is it called Talmud Yerushalmi? So Rav Steinberger Shlita, it was a Rebbe, a Rami, Yeshiva HaKotel, one of my Rebbeim. When I learned there, I was in Yeshiva HaKotel actually for 13 years. I could have made a bar mitzvah. But before I made a bar mitzvah, I left. In any event, he has this article in his Sefer, Yishei Yovel, why the Yerushalmi is called the Yerushalmi when it wasn't actually written in Yerushalayim? It was written in Tveria and Tzipori all the way up north. And there are various answers given in the Sfarim HaKadoshim. One is basically that Yerushalayim is the center of the world. So Memela, Yerushalayim, it's called after the Yerushalayim, even though it wasn't actually written in Yerushalayim. But it's Talmud of Eretz Yisrael. And the Ikra of Eretz Yisrael is Yerushalayim Kayadua. So the difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, and I'm Mavarech everybody, they should be Zochel in Yerushalmi. Today it's not so hard. Today they have the Art Scroll, which is a half-lev of Fela Dika Perish on the Yerushalmi. So the difference is the same difference we discussed in a previous year between the French Rishonim and the Spanish Rishonim. And that difference is that the French Rishonim were more into the Harkava of the Halachos, like what will come out from each Halacha, and just comparing and contrasting Halachos. And the Yerushalmi is more into analytical logic. Words, the Yerushalmi is more Lumdish than the Bavli. It's not that on the surface, because obviously in the Bavli, when you get deeper into the Sfaras, you see a lot of Lumdish as well. But the Yerushalmi is more into sharp distinctions, Chilukim. You have a one kasha and a teretz, whereas the Bavli is into harkavas of halachas, one on top of the next, on top of the next. What will be in this case? What will be in that case? And they go me'inyan, me'osu'inyan, shalobo'osu'inyan. And therefore, you see there was this tension between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, because they have different darchei limud, that the Yerushalmi is into nituach ha-hegyoni, and the Bavli is into harkavah shel halachot. And therefore it says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, that Kim b'machashakim hoshivani, I was placed in darkness. That's Talmud Bavli. So that's, you see that there was a negative impression of Talmud Bavli vis-a-vis the Yerushalmi. Gemara Psachim. And this is even in the Talmud Bavli, because the Talmud Yerushalmi is supposed to be a lot more light. Rav Kook talks about it. There's a book by I don't know if I want to say his name. I disagree with him on so many things, so I won't. But he talks a lot about Rav Kook's Yachas to the Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi is a lot more Bahir. Talmud Yerushalmi is Ruach HaKodesh, whereas Bavli is darkness, as the Talmud Bavli itself said. Zel Talmud Shel Bavel. It says in the Gemara in Pesachim, Lamed Daled, Bavli Tipshoi. Those foolish Babylonians, they sit in a dark land, and therefore they say dark sugyas. That's what it says in Pesachim. Reb Zeira, Shteitin Bav Mitziah, Pehei Amad Aleph. When he went up to Eretz Yisrael, he sat 100 fasts until he forgot the Gemara he learned in Bavel. Imagine I would fast to forget all the Torah I learned when I was younger in America. So I wouldn't have to fast for 100 days. I think I would just have to miss breakfast at most. But I was very young when I came, Rabbi Yisrael. Very, very young. In any event, but I learned, Baruch Hashem, I was in Rabbi Kernish here, so I'm going to give a shout out now to all of my friends listening worldwide, both of you, and to all of the people in this room, that Rabbi Kerner was my ninth grade Rebbe, and he taught me a lot of Torah. And it says in the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, in the Bavli, in Sanhedrin, Chof Bezom et Aleph, Makel Chovlim, the Pasuk talks about Shnei Maklos. So the Makel Chovlim in the Pasuk, says the Gemara, is referring to the Bnei Bavel, because they wound each other in Halacha. They're Chovel each other. And Makel Noam is the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, Shemanim im Zelazeh b'Halacha. They are pleasant to each other in Halacha. What's the idea behind this? That, and you see in the Gemara, in the Bavli, there's a spirit of criticism in the Gemara. Somebody says something, they bring a Tana de Meseyeh sometimes, somebody to help him out, but they also have 15 kashas, they have a Mesve, they have a Raminu. In Bavli, they're at each other's throats. They're trying to get to the MS. And in the Yerushalmi, there's a kasha in a teretz, and you have a two dots. I have a tremendous geshmak from Yerushalmi. If I have a petition, would present it to me, or people email me or call me and tell me they want shiurim and Yerushalmi, we can do that too. How many even shiurim in the world are there in Yerushalmi? So we're thinking of doing that. We just have to know that people are interested. I know that I'm interested, but I don't want to be the only one. You know what I mean? Okay, so back to our show, sweetest friends. So the Yerushalmi is a kasha and a teretz and a two dots, and that's the end of the sugya. And the Bavli, they know, they have 15 kashas on everything everybody says. And they try to work it out. Bishlam, according to this mandamer, it's fine. But according to that mandamer, what will be? But the Bavli is a lot more into cheshbonos. In the Bavli, you have to hold cup a lot more. And the Yerushalmi is much more straight logic, analysis. Okay. Now, since the Bavli... So in the Talmud Bavli, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra are very, very long, as is well known. Over 400 pages. In the Yerushalmi, it's only 80 pages. Whereas the Yerushalmi Nazir is very long. How do you explain? That's very simple. Because the Bavli is building Binyan al-Gabe Binyan. So there are very few psukim that talk about the Inyanim of Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. Very few. So that's why in the yeshivas they like to learn those mesechtas, because a lot of logic, a lot fewer gzeres hakosavs. But there are very few psukim, and they're building on those psukim. So there's so much to build. You can build endless binyan, and therefore there are 400 pages. But since there's such few psukim, and the Yerushalmi is a lot less into adding and building more buildings, so since there's such few hanachot rishonot, so few axiomot, there's so few axioms, so few givens in the bavas, so the Yerushalmi doesn't talk about it very much. Whereas the Bavli, they don't need hanachot. The Bavli just needs one or two hanachas, and they can build on that forever. So therefore, in the Bavli, the bavas are very long, because they're building binyan al-gabe binyan, and the Yerushalmi, it's shorter. What is there in the bavas? There's a little sigzol, there's a little bit of the parashiyas of Shomrim, Nezikin. And the Yerushalmi is basing itself on hanachas, and there are not very many hanachas, there are not very many axioms, premises, in those mesechtas. Whereas Nazir, there's a lot of psukim about Nazir. There's a parish of Nazir. There's the parish of Nidorim. There's the parish of Shavua. As a matter of fact, there's a famous discussion in the Acharonim. Is Nazirus an Isser Chefza like a Neder? Or is it an Isser Gavra like a Shavua? And then the Maharit came along famously, and he said it's neither this nor that. Rather, it's a Torah Kedusha, like the Kedusha of the Kahuna. That the Torah gives this person the status of being a Kohen, and from that status emanate many dinim. That's the kahuna. So the same thing with the Nazir, he gets the status through Maimer Piv, but the moment he says he's a Nazir, that now gives him the status of the Nazir, and all the laws emanate from that. It's neither an Isser Chetzah nor an Isser Gavra. That's the Chiddush of the Maharit. It's an Isser Torah, it's Mitzad HaTorah. Now, once you deal with this, so you have now discussion of the Chetzah, the Gavra, the Nedarim Shavuos, so that relates to Nazir. And obviously the parashas of Nazir, there's a lot of discussion about Karbanos. We have a lot of psukim about Karbanos. And there's also a lot about Tumah. So there are a lot of hanachas with respect to Nazir. So in Mele, the Yerushalmi Nazir is a lot longer. Tumah and Tara, a lot of stuff, Kachim. So that's another difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Bavli, Binyan al-Gabe Binyan. You know, they don't need hanachot, Rishonot. And the Yerushalmi is more focused on the Hanachot Rishonot, they need a lot, and the more there are, the longer the Yerushalmi is going to be. Now, since we said that the Yerushalmi is more into logic, so we know that there's a logical rule, just to give an example, of Siba and Mesubav. What's Siba and Mesubav? Siba and Mesubav is cause and effect. Cause and effect. What's the idea of cause and effect? That a cause has to always come before the effect. Is that logical? Of course it's logical. So this Yisod Hegyoni is more pronounced in the Yerushalmi than it is in the Bavli. The Yerushalmi at the beginning of Maseches Peah says that if a person takes one shibolus, one stalk of wheat, and then he makes the rest of his field Peah, does that original stalk also become Peah? Frek the Yerushalmi, Ef Shaloi Marken, how can that be? Hi Chayeves, Kol Sadeh B'Peah. this stalk is mechayev the whole field in peah. So how can this stalk itself also be chayev in peah? Meaning that since the cause of the rest of the field being peah is this stalk, it can't also be peah, because then the cause will not have preceded the effect. The cause will go along with the effect. They'll be simultaneous, and that can't be. First comes the cause, and then comes the effect. So memela, the shibolus rishona, will not be peah, only what comes after it, because first comes the shibolus rishona, that you took away, and then you made the rest of yourself, the corner of that field is everything else. So first you have the cause, the first shibolus, and then the effect. But it isn't fakert, but you can't go ahead and say, not fakert, you can't go ahead and say that the first stalk will also be, because then the cause and effect will be simultaneous. So you see again that from this Yerushalmi, that this Yisod HaGioni, which isn't as pronounced in the Bavli, of first is the cause, and then is the effect. In fact, we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin in the Bavli in Tezayin Amid Beis, that it says that all the Kelim that Moshe made, when he was Moshech them, when he anointed them, that's what sanctified them. From here on in, the Avodah is Mechanech them. The Avodah is what inaugurates them into their Kedusha. So to in Yuma, it says, Rapapa says, the Kohen Gadol, Avodaso Mechanechaso, the Avodah is Mechanechim. The Avodah starts him off. In contrast to this, the Yerushalmi says in Yuma that when are klisharis miskadesh, when are klisharis when are they mekadesh, meimasei mekadeshin miyad b'shas tashmisha. In temer miyad nicha. In temer b'shas tashmish ka'achas hein kdoshin miskadeshin. Say, wait a sec. When are the klisharis mekadesh? When do they become holy? Immediately, or when they're used? If you say immediately, it's very good. If you say when they're used, it won't work, because then you'll say that they become holy, and they sanctify what's in them at the very same time. So it can't be. So nicha shel Moshe shenis kadish b'shemen amishcha. So Moshe is very good. He sanctified his klisharis with shemen amishcha, and then he used them. So first you have it becoming sanctified, and then using them. Baram shel Shlomo ka'achas en kadoshen v'skadshen. Can it be that of Shlomo, they were holy themselves and made other things holy simultaneously? It can't be. So what's the Yerushalmi saying? The Yerushalmi saying that in order to sanctify what's inside of them, they first must be holy, and then the klisharis and the Beis HaMikdash, the vessels, can sanctify what's inside of them. But they can't become holy and sanctify what's inside of them simultaneously. So first you have to have the cause, and then you have to have the effect. Whereas the Bavli says no, Kol Hakelim from the time of after the time of Moshe Abu Dasim Mechan Chasim. Yes, when you start using them, that's the chinuch. So apparently they become holy themselves and make other things holy at the same time. Whereas according to the Yerushalmi, no. It has to be miyad they're holy, and then b'shas tashmisha they sanctify what's inside of them. So you see again that the cause is coming before the effect in the Yerushalmi Masha and came the Bavli. However, as Rav Amiel explains, that really can't be the pshat in the Bavli. It can't be that the Bavli would argue with this principle that first comes the cause and then the effect. So if you're medayik in the Gemara says, avodasan mechan chasan. It says, all the kelim that Moshe made, using them, mikad shasan. That's what's mekadesh then. From here on in, avodasan mechan chasan. We use a different lashon. It's not that when you start working with them, they become holy. It's that when you start working with them, then you started working with them. You inaugurate them. But they already apparently were holy earlier. Well, how did they become holy earlier? So l'chor, the pshat in the Bavli is that b'mayim r'piv, he said that they're holy and they become holy. And then when he works with them, that is the beginning of their avodah. So the hascholas etzem hadavar is the chinuch. And that's what happens afterwards. That's the second step. But the first step is that it's holy because of b'mayim r'piv. So that's what it means. Avodasim mechanchasim, that's from stage two. But stage one is amiras piv. So at the end of the day, even the Bavli would agree that first it has to be holy itself, and then it can sanctify other things that are inside of it. But it's not as pronounced again in the Bavli as it is in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is very clear. Can't be. First you have to have the cause, and then you have to have the effect. It can't be that the cause and the effect are at the same time. In the Bavli, in the Pashut level, it seems that they come at the same time. And then if you go deeper into the Gemara, since that Svar, it has to be that you can't accept the Svar that they come at the same time, yet the cause has to be before the effect. So we say that first comes the Maimer Piv, that's Mekadesh the vessel, and then the Chinuch, that's inaugurating it, then it starts the Etzem Hadavar. But again, it's not so clear in the Yerushalmi that's not so clear in the Bavli that first comes the cause and then comes the effect. Because that logical rule is more emphasized in the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi is more into the logic. So now we move further to a Gemara in Maseches Ksubis on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says, Michti, let's see, Kol Tanai, any Tanai, that the Tanai can be Mevatel Lamaisa, Mehecha Gamrina, where do we learn that it can be Mevatel Lamaisa, even though it's only a Dibur? Mitanai B'nei Gadu B'nei Ruven, that it says in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu made a Tanai with them, that if they go and they are armed and they fight with their in front of their brothers in Eretz Canaan, then they get Eretz Hagilad as a Nachala. And if they don't fight, then they're not going to get it as a Nachala. And therefore, the only time we can learn that a Tanai works is on a Maisa that's like the Maisa of B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruven. We learn Kedushin, everything is learned from B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruven about Tanai. And therefore, the Gemara says, Tanai on a Maisa. The Efshel Kiyume, that you can do this Maisa, Al Yidei Shliach. That you can do this Maisa through a Shliach. Ki Hasam, like the Maisa B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruven. That Moshe commanded Yoshua, his Shliach, to give them Eretz HaGilad. Have a Tanai Tana. The Tanai is Chal. And as Mevatel Maisa, if the Tanai is not fulfilled. Because since he is able to be Mekayim the Maisa through a Shliach, so it's Mestaber also that he could be Mekayim the Maisa Al Yidei Tanai. If a Shliach works, then a Tanai also works. But the Lo Efshir L'Kiyume, but a Maisa that you can't fulfill Al Yidei Shliach through a Shliach, Ki Hasam, like there, like the Maisa of B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruven, rather, you have to do it yourself. Can't be done with a Shliach. B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruven could be. As we said before, Moshe commanded Yoshua's Shliach to give them Eretz Hagila. So there you can also, this can be done with a Shliach, so the Tanai is also Tanai. But if it's not able to be done with a Shliach, like there, it's unlike the case of B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruben, and it can't be done with a Shliach, so therefore, Lo Avei Tanai. So the Tanai is not going to be powerful enough to be Mevatel the Maisa. And therefore, what does the Gemara learn from that? That there's no Tanai in Chalitza. Why? Because the Yavam can't send a Shliach, that the Yavama should remove the Nal of the shoe of the Shliach instead of the shoe of the Yavam. And therefore, you can't make a Tanai, since it can't be done with a Shliach. It can't be done with a Tanai. And the Gemara asks, wait a second. T.O. Coach. V'habia. D'lo Efshir. L'kiyume al yidei shliach. You can't do bia through a shliach. When a person does kedushei bia, it's not able to be done with a shliach. It's not allowed to do with a shliach. Ki hasam, like you could do b'nei gad b'nei ruven the shliach. But bia can't be done with a shliach. B'kahave tanai. And tanai works. Because the Gemara says earlier in Ksubis that if a person's bo'al amanas she'ir tza'ava and the father doesn't want, she's not mekudeshes. So why then does Bia work with a Tanai? It doesn't work with a Shliach. Answers the Gemara, no. Hasam mishum de'iskish havayis la'adadi. There in Kedushei Bia, a Tanai works because we make a hekesh between the different kinyanim of Kedushin. From the pasuk of Ahayis al-Ish Acher, the different havayos, and therefore a Tanai works just like it works with Kesef and Shtar. So it's interesting that the Rambam doesn't bring this klal of a Tanai that Efshir L'Kayim Ayidei Shliach Havei Tanai, and if it's Lo Efshir L'Kayim Ayidei Shliach is not a Tanai. And they also have a lot of kashas on this, because how does a Tanai work in a Darim and Shavuos? Because there you can't do it with a Shliach, because Mili Lo Mimsir L'Shliach. So you can't do the Darim and Shavuos through a Shliach, so how does a Tanai work? Because it's, you're not allowed to do it with a Shliach, because it's Mili, Mili Lo Mimsir L'Shliach, it's just words. And yet, even though according to the logic of the Gemara, you shouldn't be able to do Nedarim and Shavuos with a Shliach, you see in the Gemara and Nedarim and Tesvav Amar Aleph that you're allowed to make it tonight. Kona Menai B'Shein Hayom, Yimishan L'Machar. I'm not allowed to go to sleep today if I go to sleep tomorrow, tonight. Konam Hanala, I'm Erech Leveis Avi out of Pesach. I'm not allowed to get Hanala if I go to my father's house until Pesach. Shavuah also, we see in Shavuah, Chof Ches Amar Aleph. Shavuah Shaloch Hazu, Imoch Hazu, I'm not going to eat this if I eat that, it's a Tanai. But what about the Klal? Since the Dharma and Shavuah can't be done with a Tanai, with a Shliach, you also shouldn't be able to make a Tanai. And you see from these Gemaras that you can make a Tanai for an Adarim and Shavuos. So in the Sefer Piskei Halachas, he brings in Perek Shishi Mehilchos Ishus, based on a machlokas of the Yerushalmi and Yevamos, if Chalitza is a Kinyan or a Ptur, and since we paskin that Chalitza is a Ptur, you can't talk about the concept of tonight because it's not a kinyan, it's a p'tur. So what does this mean? Explain to Rav Amiel. Kolomar, the hamachloket im chalitza u'kinyan or p'tur nogat be'etzem ma'utah shel chalitza. The machloket's whether chalitza is a kinyan or a p'tur, and now she's putter, now she can marry somebody else, she's not bound to this person anymore, relates to the very essence of chalitza. Im ha-maisa, maisa ha-chalitza kishu la'atzmo, po'el as-ha-chalos ha-yaseir v'shel ha-isha la-shuk, if the maisa chalitza itself creates the extra chalos of this woman, now she's mutter to the shuk. Kimo la-mashol b'kiddushin, just like kiddushin. She-bevadei maisa ha-kiddushin kishahim la'atzmo, po'el as-ha-chalos shel eishas ish. It's clear that the maisa kiddushin makes the chalos of eishas ish. So in the same way, chalitza makes the chalos of heter isha l'shuk. I read it wrong before. It's po'el es ha-chalos hetera shel isha l'shuk. So is chalitza make her mutter to the shuk, just like kedushin makes the chalos isha sish? Oh, de ha-maisa k'shula atzmo zehu mitzvah k'chol ha-mitzvah shebetorah rak b'shvil kachuba. Do you say no, that chalitza is a mitzvah like all other mitzvahs in the Torah, and that's why it's coming as a mitzvah? The heter lashuk zeh kvar ba b'tor mistayif memeila al pidin Torah, and the heter lashuk comes automatically al pidin Torah. Dimnas a mitzvah zu asim muteres lashuk. If this mitzvah is done, now she becomes mutter to the shuk. And just like a tnai doesn't work in all other mitzvahs, for example, if a person puts on tefillin or eats matzah and he makes a tnai that if it rains today, then it'll be a mitzvah, and if not, it's not going to be a mitzvah. That doesn't mean anything. Because a tanai is only in things that have a chalos. And the tanai is when this chalos is going to come. But in a kiyum mitzvah, there's no chalos. There's no, a chalos is defined as a change in halachic status. With a kiyum mitzvah, there's no change in halachic status. I either put on tefillin, I did the mitzvah, or I didn't do the mitzvah. So maybe all chalitza is a mitzvah, and there's no, and therefore you can't make a tanai on a mitzvah. And even though chalitza also has a chalos, because now she's mutter l'shuk. However, that's not the ikar of chalitza. The ikar of chalitza is the mitzvah. And the chalos is a mistaif memela. That's what branches off automatically. So if that's the case, you can't prevent it with a tanai. And l'fizeh, it's not a kasha. The Gemara had a kasha. What was and that's incidentally the discussion of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi's discussion is it a kinyan? Is it a chalais like kedushin, or is it a p'tur? It's just a mitzvah, and this mitzvah she does her mitzvah, and then automatically she's pater. But it's not considered a chalos. Automatically she's mutter l'shuk. But it's the primary aspect of chalitza is not it's the chalos, the change in halachic status that now she's mutter, she can marry anybody, but the fact that she did her mitzvah, and you can't make a tanai on mitzvah. So if that's the case, if that's the way you're learning, you can't ask a kasha from Bia. What did the Bavli do? The Bavli said, hey, what about Bia? Bia can't be done with a shliach, and yet a tanai works. The answer is because the bia is parol b'chalos kedusha, and ishah niknas b'shlosha drachim b'kesef shtar b'bia. And just like the kesef is parol b'chalos, so too bia. So the Bavli had a kasha from bia. The The Yerushalmi explains the Piskei Halachas isn't going to have a kash at all about Bia. Why is the Yerushalmi not going to have a kash about Bia? Because Bia is a chalos. So that's very different than chalitza. Because chalitza ain't tanai. Why ain't tanai b'chalitza? Because it's a mitzvah. And you can't make it tanai if you're learning that it's a mitzvah. According to the Tzad and the Yerushalmi, that it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. But don't start asking me questions like the Bavli does from Bia, because Bia is a chalos. And avada, chalos is very different than a mitzvah. So one is not a kasha on the other. The Bavli wanted to know, hey, B, you can't do the shliach, and yet a tanai is moil. Yeah, well, the Yerushalmi doesn't hold it that klal, and the Yerushalmi holds it's a chalos, and you can make a tanai and a chalos. But chalitza, you can't make a tanai. Why can't you make a tanai? Nothing to do with shliach, no shliach. Chalitza, you can't make a tanai, because it's a mitzvah, and you can't make it tanai in a mitzvah. Bia, you can make it tanai, because it's a chalos. So that's how the Yerushalmi would learn. And it's also not a kasha from Nedarim and Shavuos. The Nedarim and Shavuos, we said, it can't be done through a shliach, and yet tanai is moil, because the Yerushalmi doesn't hold of that klal. And it's very simple. Nedarim and Shavuos are chalosim. There's a chalosim in Nedarim and Shavuos, a change in halachic status. The neder and the shvua gufa are poil b'chalois iser. So the mela, since there's a chalois, tanai is moil. You can make it tanai. Mashen ken chalitza, where there's no, it's not considered a chalos. It's primarily a mitzvah, and the chalos is just a mistaif. There, you can make it tanai. And that also obviously explains why the Rambam didn't bring it, because the Rambam is paskening like the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi doesn't hold of this klal of Efshel Lekayim Aladei Shliach. Yi Efshel Lekayim Aladei Shliach. The difference is between a chalos and a mitzvah. So what do we see? We see that the Yerushalmi, the Bavli, had a rule. They made a rule. What's the rule? A rule of shlichos goes with tanai. And the Yerushalmi lumdicized it more. And they said, it's all depends on chalois, or mitzvah. And in the Bavli B'chal, we don't find the chakira of, is the chalitza a kinyan or a ptur? Is it a chalos or a mitzvah? Because, again, the Bavli is thinking differently than the Yerushalmi. Bavli has a different mahalach than the Yerushalmi. So there's a lot more in this perek Tayri Yidden that Rav Amiel talks about, and I invite you to learn it yourselves, but just a little bit more of a taste. He says that a lot of times you have chakiras ne'achroinim, which seem like, it's an achroin shechakir, it sounds like a Reb Chaim, that in fact is a Yerushalmi. And people today, some of the chokrim, who Rav Amiel emphatically argues with, who say, the achronim are mefalpil, papulim shel hevel, what nonsense they're talking with all their chakiras. They're making new things up. The answer is, look in the Yerushalmi. Sometimes you'll find it right there. There's a chakira of the Chacham Tzvi. Where he talks about, in the Tshuvas, in Siman Aleph, where he talks about the gather of Kavana v'chalitza. Is it a Kavana shel mitzvah? Because mitzvah is tzrichas Kavana. Or is it a Kavana's kinyan? Because through the kinyan, he's matir osa la'alma, he's matir to the world. So this chakir is the same achlik as Rav and Shmuel and Yerushalmi we've been discussing. That Rav says chalitza is a kinyan, so you need kavanas kinyan. Shmuel says chalitza is a ptur, so you need kavanas mitzvah. That's number one. There's a machlokes, a famous machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit about hefker of shvius. Is it afkosa the malka or afkosa the gavra? Is it pshat that a kadosh baruch hu is mafkir the peiros shvius afkosa de malka, or is the pshat that the person has to be mafkir peiros shvius? If you look in the Yerushalmi and shvius and perek aleph, there's a machlokes Rav Yirmi and Rav Asi, which seems to be the very self same machlokes between the Mabit and the Beis Yosef. where whether Peres Shvi is the Hefker or Peres Shvi is Afkosa the Malak or Akakafta the Gavra. Is it the person who does it or HaKadosh Baruch Hu who does it? The Gemara there says, from when is a person Zocha in his Peres Shvi? We know Peres Shvi is our Hefker. When does a person, the owner of these Peres, the original owner, when can he get them? So Rav Yirmiyah says, Mishi Yitnei Matoch Kelev, when he puts them in his Kelev, when he puts them in his utensils. And Rav Asi says, even if he puts them in his kelim, he's not zocheh. To who sabar didei, v'lesinun didei. He thinks it's his, and it's really not his. So what's the machlokas? The Achronim explain that Rav Asi holds that it's afkosa de malka. That really, it's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mafkirit. And he was never mafkirit. And when he's zochen it, who sabar didei? As the Gemara says, to who suffered the day? He thinks it's his. And he's not mechabing l'shem kinyan. He thinks it never went out of his rishus. V'lesi nun di day, and it's really not his. So Mela, Rav Asi says, even when he puts it in his kelim, he's not zocha, because he thinks it's his all along. And it's not. Rav Yirmiyah says, mishit ne matoch kelav, because he holds that a person, it's afkosa de akakafta de gavra, a person's mafkirit. He was mafkirit, and then when he puts it in his, he puts it back in his, in his closet, in his cabinet, he's zocha. So therefore he says, Mishiyat Nematoch Kelev, because he was mafgirit, and then he takes it back for himself, so he realizes he's making a kinyan. Rav Asi says, even taking it won't help, because Rav Asi's holding it's afkasa de malka. The person doesn't know that it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu being mafgirit. He thinks it was never hefker in the first place, so he can never actually make a kinyan. There's a Shagas Aryeh in Hilchos Mila, who is mistapik. In the mitzvah of Mila, we know that you have to do the Mila on the eighth day. Let's say you do it on the eighth night. In other words, the night before the eighth day. In Al-Adr, you have to do it on the eighth day. But let's say a person, Lamaisa, did it. Kashua for Maisa. A person did it on the eighth night. That's what the Shagas Aryeh asks. What is the din? What's the chisaron of the eighth night? Is it because it's not yet the time? Because the time of Bris Mila is dafka on the eighth day. Or no. Really, the day has come. Higi azman. But the chisaron is night. In halacha do a Bris Mila at night. So, what's the chisaron of Yom, of Leil Shmini? Is it a chisaron of, it's not yet the time, lo higi azman, because the time is the eighth day? Or is it a chisaron of Laila? No, the time has come, because it's the eighth. The only thing is, you're not allowed to do it at night, just like you're not allowed to do it any other night. And then afkamina, of course, is if somebody did a bris mila on the eighth night, if he has to atav his dam bris. If the chisaron is because it's not yet time, he has to atav his dam bris. If the chisaron is mitzad laila, then v'diyavad, he doesn't have to do atav his dam bris. But in fact, this chakir of the Shagas Aryeh is a Yerushalmi in Shabbos, in Perek Ches. And the Yerushalmi is machriya, that the night of the eighth is already considered the eighth. It's not a din. In Lifnei Zmano, it says Lele Shmini Kishmini Hu, and then therefore the only Chisaron is night. So that Lamda Shachakir of the Shagas Aryeh really appears earlier in the Yerushalmi. One more Nakuda, there's a, we all know the Halacha and the Bavli in Yerushalmi that Safik Tumi, which is a Yachid, is Tameh. Safik Tumi, if somebody's not sure if he touched Tumi, which is a Yachid, he's Tameh. But the Yerushalmi goes even deeper. The Yerushalmi gets even more lamdish. And the Yerushalmi says, is this din, that a person is tameh, if he's touched safek tumah, which is hayachid, is this a safek b'mitzias, or is this tumah safek b'mitzias? Is the vados of this tumah safek b'mitzias or b'din? In other words, if a person's not sure if he touched his dead body, do we say that in the mitzias he did touch the dead body? Or no? In the Metzius, we say we don't know if he touched the dead body, but bedin, we say he touched the dead body. That's the halacha, even though the Metzius might be that he didn't touch the dead body, but we pass him the halacha that he did. And these chakiras appear a lot in the Achronim, and Rav Amiel goes more into it and finds different gemaras and different halachas. So this is all to whet your appetite, sweetest friends, for a little bit more Yerushalmi and the comparison of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And we should all be Zochem Mitzvah Hashem to learn Bavli, to to learn Yerushalmi, Lumar, Olami, Lishma, Velasos, and Amir Hashem, B'siyata Dishmaya, to continue studying together this Gevaldik Sefer, to learn a little bit of the what's going on beneath the surface of our Talmud study, and that will definitely add a great deal of Simcha and Kedusha and Tara to our lives. Amen, Ken Yiratzon. Shalom, shalom, sweetest and most beloved friends.